When the exhausted horses began stumbling and blowing, Yakima pulled into a broad, sandy-floored canyon. The walls were a sheer 500 feet on the north side, 200 on the other. A spring bubbled out from the side of the north wall, forming a shallow pool before running off over gravel and seeping into the sand.
We'll rest the horses here.
Yakima slipped his Winchester from its boot, then hoofed it back down the canyon, scrutinizing the south wall and the canyon floor itself. He hadn't detected a sign of anyone on their trail for several hours, but he'd take no chances. When he was relatively certain they had this section of the Sierra Olivadas to themselves, he headed back toward camp. Skirting a small island of willows, he paused and sniffed the air, detecting the smell of burning wood smoke. He moved around a bend in the South Canyon wall, staring back toward the makeshift camp they'd made near the spring, with the horses hobbled near the seep, grain sacks draped over their snouts. Thick white smoke rose from a small fire about 10 feet out from the wall. Faith, Kelly, and the other men lounged with their backs against the wall, and Kavanaugh and Stiles reclined with their hats tipped over their eyes. Yakima strode up to the camp and kicked sand on the flames.
God damn it, I was fixing to brew coffee.
No fires.
I thought you said we lost them.
I think we lost them. But if they're around, they could smell that green smoke within a mile.
Listen, Breed, we've been riding all night. We need a cup of coffee to get us through.
You tin horn's gonna have to go without coffee for a day or two. Get used to it.
Who the hell are you calling a tin horn, you half-breed son of a bitch?
Brahma slapped leather and, crouching, started raising his revolver. Yakima swung toward him and kicked the pistol out of his hand.
Son of a bitch!
Brahma grabbed his injured wrist and stared up at Yakima, forked veins protruding from his forehead. When his dark eyes dropped to the cocked Colt in Yakima's fist, they stood out even farther.
You're more trouble than you're worth, Brahma.
He squeezed the Colt in his fist until his knuckles turned white. Brahma's mouth opened slightly as fear touched his eyes.
Yakima?
Her voice was like a rope thrown to the bottom of a deep well. Reaching for it, he raised the Colt's barrel and depressed the trigger. He flipped the revolver into his holster. He moved a ways off down the canyon. Dropped beneath a pine and tipped his hat over his eyes. He'd slept for about 20 minutes when something woke him. He opened his eyes and slowly poked the hat brim back off his forehead. Under the pre-dawn light, his eyes darted from left to right, then drifted up the southern ridge, shouldering up on the other side of the canyon, scrutinizing the rocks, boulders, and shrub clumps. Warning bells tolled in his head. Something flashed in the hazy purple wedge of shade beside a triangular-shaped boulder. Yakima jerked upright and reached for his Winchester. At the same time, a rifle shot echoed across the canyon. He turned to see Kavanaugh slump forward, away from the canyon wall, grabbing his upper left chest. As the others jerked out of their slumbers, Yakima returned his gaze to the ridge. A man in a dove-gray tunic crouched beside the triangular-shaped boulder, raising his Winchester's barrel to jack another shell into the chamber. As Yakima pushed onto his knees and raised the yellow boy to his shoulder, he spied several more rurales stealing down from the far ridge, moving like mountain goats amongst the rocks and boulders. Yakima aimed quickly at the first rurale and squeezed the yellow boy's trigger.
Rurales!
Little Brahma and Longley grabbed their rifles, looking around wildly. Several more bullets kicked up dust along the canyon floor.
Mount up!
Yakima glanced left to see Willie Stiles rolling around on the canyon floor while clutching his belly. Faith crouched beside Kelly, half covering the young man with her body as she stared in horror at the ridge on the other side of the canyon. Swinging his rifle from right to left and back again, hearing hoofbeats rising on his right, Yakima loosed a flurry of lead at the ridge.
Mount up and get the hell out of here! Up canyon, vamoose!
He emptied his rifle, ran several yards forward, then dropped to a knee. As he plucked shells from his cartridge belt and pushed them through the rifle's loading gate, he glanced left again. Stiles was still down, flat on his back and breathing hard as blood gushed from his chest. Kavanaugh was up and running toward his horse, limping slightly, while Faith was helping her brother onto the calico. Wolf stared toward Yakima, wide-eyed and jumping around, the only mount they hadn't hobbled.
I'm coming, boy!
Shit!
He winced as a slug spanged off a stone to his right. He aimed at a smoke puff halfway up the ridge and fired two quick rounds. then glanced up the canyon to see riders moving toward him from around both sides of the island of willows. He snapped off two quick shots in their direction, then sprinted down the canyon to Wolf. The others had ridden out, their dust still sifting behind them. The kid, Willie Stiles, lay near the hole in which Brahma had been trying to start a fire, on his back, unmoving. One hand on his bloody chest, the other lying flat atop the sand. The kid's head was turned to the side, his dusty lids half covering his death-glazed eyes. Yakima continued on past the kid and mounted Wolf on the run, grabbing the reins and dropping his head low as rifles cracked behind him. Wolf stretched out, head down, hooves scissoring, laid back ears twitching with fear and irritation. As horse and rider rounded a bend in the sandy-floored canyon, Yakima spied Faith and Kelly dead ahead, the young man leaning over Faith's right shoulder. In spite of the weight of the two riders, however, the calico was keeping pace with Kavanaugh, Brahma, and Longley, galloping about 30 yards beyond. One of them should have taken the kid, but they were obviously more concerned about saving their own asses than helping Faith. A real winning team she'd chosen for her excursion into Mexico. Yakima urged Wolf up beside Faith. Willie Stiles' riderless horse galloped to her right. Kavanaugh and his cohorts were about 20 yards beyond, riding spread out across the widening, jagged-walled canyon. As the staccato clatter of hoofbeats grew louder behind him, Yakima glanced behind and winced. Four lead riders were closing fast. Judging by the bobbing sombrero-clad heads and the cartridge bandoliers flashing in the sunlight behind them, at least a half dozen more followed. Yakima snaked his rifle around his body to fire behind him. As he squeezed the yellow boy's trigger, a rumble rose from up canyon. Only it wasn't boulders being flung at him. Bullets fired by a Gatling gun mounted on a nearby thumb of rock whipped around his head, humming like angry hornets. As the Gatling gun roared, several rurales flew backward, dust puffing from the slugs pounding through their tunics and bandoliers, blood spraying out before them.
Christ, what now?
The rurales' wide-eyed riderless horses screamed to skidding halts, falling back behind Yakima and Faith. The half-breed crouched low beneath the flying bullets, expecting to catch a couple himself. As he and the others hauled back on their reins, their own horses skidding in the dry sand and gravel, Yakima glanced ahead and right at the smoke and fire-spitting Gatling perched on the rock thumb protruding from the canyon's right wall. As he did so, the Gatling fell suddenly silent, and behind the brass canister a sombrero rose. Beneath the sombrero dropped a thin, hawkish face with a drooping mustache and a row of gold teeth glistening between spread lips. Christos Arvada. Leonora Domingo bounded up the rocks beside Arvada. She jerked a thumb to indicate up canyon, then turned and disappeared as Arvada, abandoning the Gatling gun, followed her.
What the hell's going on?
Yakima glanced at Faith, then looked back beyond the place where several dead rurales lay.
More coming!
Yakima booted Wolf ahead.
Let's go!
As he passed the rock thumb and checked Wolf back to a trot, Leonora Domingo dropped down off a rocky ledge to his right and onto the back of one of the two horses waiting there in the shadows, tied to shrubs. Christos Arvada, holding his arms out for balance, skipped down the rocks, then dropped smoothly off the wall and into his own saddle. Both gigged their horses toward Yakima.
You two get around.
We were tracking federal soldiers from whom we acquired that magnificent weapon to add to my collection when we spied you and those vermin behind you.
She gestured back toward the Gatling they'd left on the knob.
Unfortunately, it's out of ammunition.
Yakima glanced behind at the rurales rounding the bend behind Kavanaugh, Faith, and the others.
Damn the luck! They're back on our trail!
Leonora swung her head around, then turned forward once more, grinding her spurs into her Mustang's ribs.
Follow us!
As Leonora and Christos Arvada galloped off down the canyon, Yakima and the others spurred their own mounts into ground-eating lopes. Behind, the rurales triggered pistols and rifles, with the canyon curved enough that most of the slugs slammed into the walls. As he followed another broad curve, Yakima saw several men sitting horses, others on the canyon's left side in the shade of an overhanging rock.
Lázaro comes!
The group reined their horses into the canyon. As Yakima passed the niche in which they'd been milling, he saw a bullet-riddled wagon and three men in the dark blue uniforms of the Mexican Federales hanging from a stout, gnarled oak growing out of the rocks.
You've been busy, senorita.
I am always busy. Do you expect me to take over this province by sitting on my thumbs? This way!
Where the hell are we going?
Shut up, old man, and I will show you.
Leonora swung into the corridor's dark mouth. As the others followed, Yakima pulled over toward Faith, her brother still riding behind her.
You all right?
For now. The Calico can't keep up this pace much longer.
Yakima glanced behind. The Rurales were gaining ground. As the Rurales entered the tunnel behind them, the tunnel walls dropped suddenly back and sunlight fell over Yakima once more. Still galloping behind Faith, he found himself in a broad valley, sheer on the right, but with a boulder-strewn slope rising toward a sandstone ridge on the left. Leonora Domingo and Christos Arvada were angling up the slope, twisting around the boulders, the Señorita looking behind.
This way!
Faith glanced at Yakima, her eyes wary, as she turned the Calico up the slope behind Pop Longley, who was riding behind Kavanaugh and Brahma.
Keep going!
Yakima winced as the Rurales' hooves clattered loudly behind him and several rifles cracked. The bullet clipped a shrub to his right, making Wolf jerk to the left. The black tore up the slope, overtaking Faith's mount. Pop's head jerked as a bullet slammed through its base and out his right temple in a shower of brains and blood. His horse screamed, and Pop tumbled over his right stirrup, hitting the ground on his back. Buck kicking, the bronc wheeled and headed up the slope, angling left. Knowing there was nothing he could do for the man, Yakima continued pushing Wolf up the slope behind Faith. The Calico was slowing, dropping its head and blowing hard, its ribs expanding and contracting. With every inhalation, silver sweat bubbled around the stirrups and latigo. Yakima rode up off Faith's left stirrup and leaped out of his saddle. He hustled around Wolf and held his reins up to Kelly, who appeared more alert than he'd looked before, though his eyes were still glazed.
Take my horse, kid!
Kelly's eyes sharpened. He leaped off the Calico's back, one knee buckling as both feet hit the ground, then took the reins Yakima offered.
What are you gonna do?
I'll be along in a minute.
That's what you always say.
And I'm always along.
When Kelly had clambered onto Wolf's back, Yakima slammed the yellow boy's butt against the black's right hip. Wolf blew and nickered and lit out after the other horses.
Don't go getting yourself killed, damn it!
Thumbing fresh shells through his Winchester's loading gate, Yakima ducked behind a boulder and edged a look down slope. The Rurales, a good 20 of them, were still galloping out of the corridor. Three were heading up slope into the sifting dust of Yakima's group, while several more leaped from their saddles to drop to a knee and steady their rifles. A couple had hunkered down behind boulders at the slope's base and were triggering their own Henry and Winchester repeaters toward their quarry. A quick glance up slope told Yakima that Leonora and Christos Arvada were about halfway up the long, rubble and shrub-pocked slope, heading toward a long, thin gap at the base of the bulging crown of sandstone. Faith and the others were spread out across the slope behind them, vague shapes in the adobe-colored dust, twisting and turning around boulders, pinyons, and yucca snags. He snaked his Winchester over the rock and fired three rounds, dropping down as a slug slammed into the dirt beside the rock and another crashed against the rock itself. He lifted his head once more and drew a bead on a rider angling toward him and triggered the yellow boy, blowing the man straight back off the horse's ass. Behind him, a half dozen Rurales were galloping uphill. Some were on foot, arms scissoring, holding their rifles in one hand. Yakima caught no glimpse of Lazaro. If he was part of this group, he was hanging back. Too bad. Yakima would like nothing more, aside from getting Faith and her brother safely back to Arizona, than turning the demonic Rurale toe down once and for all. He emptied his Winchester, slowing the Rurale's progress upslope. Then turned and, keeping the boulder between him and the canyon floor, scurried up the incline as he slipped six more shells through the Winchester's loading gate. He reached for another shell, but his fingers found only empty belt loops.
Shit.
He'd used up all the ammo in his shell belt. He had only the six cartridges he'd just slipped into the yellow boy and the six in his revolver cylinder. Glancing behind to see the Rurales climbing the slope through the dust, Yakima ran hard, angling toward the gap growing at the top of the slope. Slugs sizzled around his ears, plunking into the rocks and gravel around him. One burned across his upper left shoulder. Another ripped along the side of his right thigh, both grazes feeling like hot knives laid across his skin. He squinted up slope through the sifting dust. Faith and Kelly were nearing the ridge crest. As a slug clipped his boot heel, Yakima leaped a flat-topped boulder and dropped behind it. He was about 30 yards from the top. Leonora and three of her men, including Arvada, were on their knees in front of the cave, triggering lead down the ridge, smoke puffing around their heads. As he swung his head forward, he glimpsed a figure in the corner of his eye and turned back. Kavanaugh lay slumped against a low, rocky shelf 15 feet away. The gambler stared steely-eyed at Yakima, a revolver clenched in his right hand resting atop his thigh. With his other hand, he held a wadded neckerchief to the bloody wound in his upper left chest. The cloth wasn't doing much to stem the blood flow. The thick red liquid dribbled out around it, bubbling and glinting in the sunlight.
How bad are you hit?
Bad enough.
Kavanaugh smiled crookedly.
Fortunate for you, eh?
Yakima snaked his revolver over the boulder, snapped off a shot, and glanced at Kavanaugh once more.
Come again?
You got your hat set for my wife, you red-skinned bastard.
It's not the time or the place for that bullshit.
Yakima triggered another round.
Half-breed, horse-breaker, and a beautiful white whore. Now, how in the hell you think that's gonna work?
Yakima said nothing, only triggering another shot downhill, counting his cartridges and aiming carefully. There was the click of a gun hammer behind him. He glanced back to see Kavanaugh extending his cocked revolver at him. The man had a savage look on his sweat-streaked face.
Don't be a fool, Kavanaugh. You won't get out of here without me.
I ain't getting out of here anyway. It sure comforts me to know you won't have her either.
The man gritted his teeth. His knuckles turned white as he squeezed his revolver's grips. Yakima steeled himself. A rumble rose out of nowhere and the ground began quivering. Kavanaugh let the revolver drop slightly as he looked around, puzzled. Yakima looked up to see several large boulders rolling down from the crest of the sandstone ridge.
Rock slide!
As he bounced forward, crouching, he stopped and looked over at Kavanaugh. The gambler, lower jaw hanging, was on his knees, staring up at the ridge. A shadow passed over the gambler. Yakima jerked a look upward once more. A wagon-sized boulder bounced off the side of the sandstone wall and plunged toward the slope, angling out from the ridge wall, twisting and turning so that Yakima could see the cracks, knobs, and ridges along its surface. The boulder moved between the sun and Yakima and Kavanaugh, casting a shadow over them both as it plunged, its 20-plus tons roaring as it tore through the air. Yakima scrambled left and dove.
Son of a...
As Yakima landed on his chest and belly, spraying gravel and skinning his elbows, the ground leaped violently beneath him. He pushed off one bloody elbow to glance behind at Kavanaugh. The shelf behind which Kavanaugh had been resting was pulverized, and all that remained of the gambler himself was his pancaked hat and a large patch of blood and viscera. Pushing off the ground with his hands and keeping his head down, he bolted straight up the slope. He figured he had no chance to make the cave, but he kept his feet moving and his arms scissoring, blowing with the effort, wincing as the sand and dirt stung his cheeks and eyes. The dust was so thick that he couldn't see how far he was from the cave when his boot slipped off a rock, twisting his ankle, and he dropped to a knee. Suddenly, two hands wrapped around his left arm and someone was pulling him forward.
Rápido!
He lurched to his feet once more. The cave yawned darkly before him, behind a thin curtain of sifting sand and falling rocks. At the same time, he and Leonora dove forward. They hit the ground just inside the cave and rolled. When Yakima lifted his head, he was staring at the cave's opening, 6 feet behind him. Beyond the gap, several large boulders plunged, spraying dirt and gravel as they continued bounding on down the mountain. Leonora scrambled onto her knees. She grabbed Yakima's shoulder and straightened.
Come!
Come where?
Yakima glanced around the dark, sandy-floored cavern. Christos Arvada sat with his back against a wall, clutching his right hand to a bullet wound under his left arm. He was the only other person in sight. Yakima's brain clenched as he jerked a look back out the gap where the rocks were still raining.
Where's...
She and your horse are safe. For now. Come!
Where the hell are we going?
Quit asking questions, you stubborn gringo!
Leonora reached down and tugged on Arvada's right elbow, hauling the man to his feet.
Christos, you lazy goat, get up!
God damn it.
Yakima looked around quickly. The front of the cave was fast building up with rocks and boulders. With what little light remained in the cavern, he saw that there was no back wall, which meant the cave continued farther into the mountain. As Leonora helped Arvada move back into the cave's Stygian darkness, Yakima followed, running his left hand along the wall, holding the yellow boy up and out with his right, shielding himself from unseen obstacles. The uneven floor dropped gradually. After a time, Yakima felt fresh, damp air caress his face.
You want us to do what?
I'll be damned if I'm jumping in there!
Pale light appeared, casting Leonora's and Arvada's figures in shadow and limning the jagged walls and low ceiling. As the floor began to even out and the ceiling rise, Yakima saw two figures and three horses 50 yards ahead. One of the horses, Wolf it appeared, was pitching, tail raised, tossing its head, while Faith clung to the reins. Yakima bolted forward. Faith turned to him sharply.
I didn't think you made it!
So far!
Yakima grabbed Wolf's reins, and the horse, appeased by his master's presence, stopped pitching but continued to snort and prance in place.
You all right?
She nodded.
Ace?
Yakima shook his head. Her eyes held his for a moment, vaguely pensive, even regretful. And then she glanced at the river running through a ravine just ahead. It was fed by black water tumbling over a falls in the high-ceilinged cathedral-like room. At the very top, the ceiling opened to sunlight. The underground river, gleaming in the sun shafts angling through the roof, snaked around to Yakima's right and dropped out of sight between narrowing walls sheathed in cracked granite boulders of all shapes and sizes.
How do you like my hideout?
Leonora grabbed the reins of the other two horses, both sporting silver-trimmed Mexican saddles.
Right handy.
Yakima's glance fell on Kelly, sitting slumped against the wall. He turned to the señorita as she led both horses to the edge of the dark ravine through which the river swirled. Behind her, Christos Arvada stood, facing the direction from which they'd come, his silver-plated revolver in his right hand, held low against his leg. He held his thumb over the hammer.
We gotta swim our way out of here?
You can walk, if you wish.
Domingo stepped back and slapped the hindquarters of one of the Mexican mounts. The horse lunged over the edge and into the stream with a splash.
But it's a good 40 feet deep here in the cave.
I can't swim!
The señorita sent the other Mexican mount plunging over the ravine's edge and into the roiling stream.
There's no swimming, amigo. Only praying. Pray that the river takes you out of the mountain without smashing you to pieces and spits you safely into the valley below.
The pistol cracked. Yakima turned toward Arvada. The pistolero held his revolver straight out, aiming down the barrel. He glanced over his shoulder. The man's narrow face pinched with pain, natural belligerence, and fear.
I saw something! Shadows moved!
Shadows moved in your head! No one could have survived the rock slide!
The señorita glanced at Yakima.
You better get your people in the water, in the rare event that my soft-headed partner is right.
Yakima slid his yellow boy into the saddle boot, then took Wolf's reins in both hands. He pulled the horse's head down toward his and stared into his coffee-black, white-ringed eyes.
Sorry, old buddy, but this is the only way. I'll see you wherever this river leaks out.
With that, he slipped the horse's bridle off so it wouldn't snag and drag him under, then removed the lariat coiled at the side of the saddle. Stepping back quickly, not giving the horse time to turn around and run back through the cavern, he slapped his right hand hard against the stallion's hip.
Go!
Wolf lurched forward, bounding over the lip of the bank and plunging into the water. Yakima watched as the stallion tore off downstream, twisting and turning and shaking his head frantically as he tried to make for one of the banks. When the horse drifted off around a bend in the riverbed, the half-breed turned to Faith, who'd led Kelly out away from the wall. Yakima looped the lariat around Kelly's waist, secured it with a slip knot, then dropped another loop over Faith's head. She glanced at him curiously.
This'll keep us together, no matter what happens.
Yakima formed one more loop, dropped it over his head, and fashioned a slip knot in front of his chest. When he glanced up, he saw Faith studying him with a half-smile on her full lips.
Thanks!
Don't thank me until we've made it!
The smile on her lips grew, and she set a hand against Yakima's cheek.
We'll make it!
Leonora sidled up against Yakima, smiling seductively.
You're not going to include me? You've hurt my feelings, wild man. But I'll forgive you if you buy me a drink on the other side. Come, Christos!
She moved to the edge of the bank and stepped forward. Plunging straight down into the water. She reappeared 10 yards down the roiling stream. She flopped her arms, threw a hand in a hasty wave, grinned dementedly, then swung to and fro and disappeared around the bend. Arvada moved to the bank, glanced back the way they'd come, then turned to Yakima.
Better hurry, Indio! I think we have company!
He plunged into the river. Yakima, Faith, and Kelly moved to the edge of the bank.
Just try to keep your heads above the water! Don't fight the current!
Yakima thought he heard something behind him and turned. Nothing but the mouth of the dark cavern leading back toward the opening, which was no doubt blocked now with rocks and boulders. He turned to Brahma. The big man stood staring at the water.
See you downstream!
Brahma kept his eyes on the churning black water.
I'll be along when I'm good and goddamn ready!
Yakima stepped to the edge of the riverbank. He doffed his hat, held it before him, and glanced at Faith and Kelly.
Let's go!
Yakima stepped off the bank. When his head bobbed to the surface, he was facing downstream. Both banks slid past him in a rocky blur. He turned his head as Faith surfaced just behind him, hair plastered against her head and cheeks. Behind her, her brother's head broke the surface, mouth drawn wide. The river was cold as snow melt. Yakima's limbs numbed as the current jerked him this way and that while pulling him nearly straight downstream. The rope around his chest jerked taut, then slackened as Faith and Kelly moved toward him. As the river plunged in a near waterfall, the banks drew back while the ceiling lowered sharply. Then suddenly the ceiling was gone. Yakima's gut leaped into his throat as the river dropped once again, even more sharply, and suddenly he was squinting against brassy sunlight, reflecting off the water. Above him, a brassy blue sky yawned above serrated ridges. The river sped up even more, the stone walls climbing around him. The rope jerked taut, and he turned to see Faith and Kelly caught in an alternate current swing out toward his right flank. Ahead and to Yakima's right was a large boulder up against which a near solid sheet of white water was dancing. On their current course, Faith would be slammed right up against it. At this speed, the impact would kill her.
Yakima!
A smaller, half-submerged boulder lay between him and the big rock.
Hold on!
He kicked toward it, throwing his arms out and pulling the water back toward him, trying to steer against the iron-willed river. To his right, Faith and Kelly swung out slowly, both heading for the large, merciless boulder. Yakima got himself positioned so that the smaller rock was fast growing before him, the river fountaining up around it. He steeled himself, throwing his arms and legs out before him, bracing himself for impact. The boulder hit Yakima straight on, brutally slamming against his chest. He slumped against it, the water behind him pushing him forward against the slick surface. As it did, he used what remained of his strength to grab the semi-slack rope to his right. Lowering his head and puffing his cheeks out, he drew the rope back toward him. As he pulled, he slowly lifted his head, gritting his teeth, the veins in his forehead and neck standing out sharply. He opened his eyes enough to see Faith swing up in front of him, then Kelly, the kid just barely grazing the large boulder before the current swept him downstream. The rope between Yakima and Faith jerked slack, and with the help of the river pushing behind him, Yakima was lifted up and over the top of the smaller rock. The knobby crest gouged his belly, ribs, and chest, tearing his skin as the river pulled him brusquely over. He turned a half-somersault, hitting the river on the rock's other side, going under for a moment before the river continued pulling him on downstream. When he raised his aching head, his ribs and gut burning and aching, he saw the large boulder dance off to his right and behind him. He slipped through the trough like a leaf caught in a mill race. Suddenly, the canyon walls pulled gradually back as the river became calmer and slower. Yakima's left boot kicked a rock, then his right, and he began skidding over the tops of several as the river slowed even more as it widened and flattened out and the level dropped. Large, sprawling oaks, pecans, cottonwoods, and sycamores pushed up to both sides of the broad, gurgling stream, all thrusting their leafy branches up from a meadow carpeted in deep green grass. Beyond, the canyon walls were little more than low saddleback hills. When the water dropped to 3 feet, Yakima got his waterlogged boots beneath him and stood, looking around. Faith knelt in the shallows to his right, Kelly just beside her, the kid scrubbing water from his face and turning his head from left to right, blinking.
I'll be damned.
Jesus, you're a mess.
Faith climbed to her feet, her eyes on his midsection. Following the young woman's gaze, he saw that his buckskin shirt was shredded, his chest and belly red with blood thinned by river water. Though it burned and ached like hell, it looked worse than it was. Yakima looked around until he spotted two figures sitting side by side under a sprawling cottonwood on the river's left shore. Lounging beside Christos Arvada, Señorita Domingo lifted an arm above her head and waved. She and the pistolero had shucked out of their wet garments and were lounging around like a couple of Sunday afternoon picnickers in their underwear, while their two horses grazed behind them. As he began looking around for his own mount, he heard a welcome sound to his right. He whipped his head around. Staring at Yakima, Wolf, half concealed by sawgrass and river willows, stood in the shallows, his saddle hanging down over his ribs, his wet black coat glistening in the sunlight.
I'll be double damned.
Yakima turned toward Faith and Kelly, shucked his Arkansas toothpick from the sheath behind his neck, and cut their ropes free, tossing the frayed lengths into the stream.
You two all right?
Faith ran her hand through Kelly's hair, nearly the same shade of blonde as her own.
What do you think, Kel? Can I break a brother out of prison, or can I?
Kelly draped an arm around Faith's shoulders and shook his head.
I don't know. But for a while there, I was thinking I'd rather be breaking rock for old Lazaro.
Faith wrapped her free arm around Yakima's waist.
Come on, let's get ourselves dried out and our wounds tended.
You two go on. Get out of those wet clothes. I'll tend to Wolf here and be back directly.
As Yakima led the horse up the low bank through the cattails, he glanced upstream, looking for Lou Brahma, the only other survivor of their Mexican jailbreak party. Seeing nothing but sun-glinting water running back toward the mountains from which they'd come, Yakima continued leading the horse through the brush. Back in the breeze-rustled trees' deep shade, he ran his hand down Wolf's neck and scratched the mount's ears.
That wasn't so bad now, was it, old part?
The horse blew, stared at him skeptically, and shook his head.
We'll be heading home soon, after a good night's sleep.
He didn't know how he was going to get himself, Faith, and Kelly back to Arizona with only one horse. Faith had likely lost all her money with the Bronx and the landslide. But he'd worry about that later. For now, he was just glad they'd made it down that river alive. When Yakima had the saddle and saddle boot off and had examined Wolf's hide thoroughly for deep bruises and wounds, finding nothing more than a couple of small scrapes and scratches, he headed back toward the river. Under a tree near Leonora and Christos Arvada, Kelly and Faith had stripped down to their underwear and were lying supine in patches of sunlight filtering through the arching, creaking branches. Their drying hair slid around in the breeze. Yakima stepped into the shallows and peered upstream, squinting his eyes against the west-angling sunlight, winking off the river as off a snake's scales. After a time, his keen gaze picked out a dark shape lolling against a rock about 50 yards upstream, about 20 yards from Yakima's side of the river.
Brahma?
Yakima waded upstream, taking long strides against the current. The body lolled face down, caught between two rocks in about 2 feet of water. Brahma's thick arms bobbed out around his bulky body, and his curly black hair swirled around his head. Yakima reached down and turned him onto his back. Two quarter-sized holes appeared in his chest, one just beneath his right shoulder, the other through his breastbone. Watery blood seeped like black ink from the wounds. Yakima let Brahma flop back in the shallows and straightened, jerking his gaze around, his eyes sharp, apprehension stabbing at his spine.
Lazaro.
Yakima made for shore and strode quickly back toward Faith and Kelly. Only Kelly lay beneath the cottonwood, flat on his back as though he'd been dropped. His chest rose and fell as he breathed, sound asleep. Leonora Domingo and Christos Arvada slept as well, under a tree just beyond Kelly's. Yakima grabbed his Colt from its holster, hoping the cylinder held a few dry cartridges, and looked around. He began moving back toward the shore, not saying anything to alarm the others. If Lazaro was out there, and if he had Faith, it might be best to make as little commotion as possible. He stopped near the water, pricking his ears to listen as his eyes swept the ground around him. To his left, the tall grass had been freshly bent, forming a faint, silvery path downstream along the gurgling river. Yakima followed the trail. He'd moved 15 yards when he stopped and glanced at the upthrust branch of a sun-bleached deadfall. A thin ribbon of white cotton cloth clung to the sharp branch tip, gently waving in the afternoon breeze. Yakima plucked the cloth from the branch and held it before his face. He was no expert in the area of women's underwear, but unless he missed his guess, the cotton strip had been recently torn from a camisole. He dropped the cloth and continued moving along the faint path through the grass, which appeared to have been trampled by only one person. A few yards farther on, he stopped once more. A figure moved in the upper periphery of Yakima's vision. He snapped his head up and squeezed the Colt's butt in his right hand. Lazaro stepped out from behind the forked trunk of a sycamore. He held Faith in front of him, one hand wrapped around her mouth, the other holding a razor-edged stiletto in front of her throat, the point nudging the soft skin beneath her chin. Faith gazed in horror at Yakima, eyes wide, her smooth cheeks mottled red above the man's large brown hand. Lazaro looked like a cadaver, his face drawn and bleached, speckled with blood from several scrapes and cuts. Yakima stared at the knife point pressed against the underside of Faith's chin.
All right, you can turn her loose.
He depressed the Colt's trigger and tossed the revolver into the brush without hesitation, then raised both hands, palms out.
You got me.
See, the gringo must mean a lot to you, huh, Indio?
You have me. Turn her loose.
Yes, I have you. Now, Indio, watch me cut the gringa's throat.
No!
At the same time, Lazaro snapped his head up sharply and dropped the knife. He staggered forward, and Faith bolted toward Yakima. Lazaro took another stumbling step forward, eyes still wide as his face hung slack, his back taut as stretched wire. The man half turned, revealing Leonora Domingo standing behind him. In her right hand, she held a long-bladed, obsidian-handled stiletto. Blood coated the entire blade and dripped over the senorita's hand, sagging in thick webs to the ground around her bare feet.
What's the matter, Capitan? Do you have a backache?
Leonora! Domingo!
Lazaro stumbled toward her, dropped to his knees, and clawed up at her, feebly, with his outstretched hands, as if to wrap his fingers around her throat. Leonora stared down at him.
You've been hunting my beautiful scalp for many years, haven't you, Lazaro? Unfortunately for you...
She moved forward with the grace of a black panther, sidestepping the man's flailing arms, and got around behind him. Crouching over him and holding his chin taut in one hand, she used the other to draw a line across the top of his forehead with her bloody stiletto.
Your scalp will be adorning my saddle horn, you son of a wild javelina whore!
She grabbed the front of the captain's scalp and jerked back sharply. Lazaro flopped onto his back and rolled from side to side, both hands clutching his bloody head. Meanwhile, Leonora held up the man's scalp and twirled it, holding it by the coarse, loosely woven braid.
Of course, it's not nearly as lovely as the scalps you've worn, Capitan. But I will wear yours for a trophy, just the same as you've worn so many of ours. Die slow, bastard. Take your time. El Diablo laughs as he waits.
With that, Leonora wheeled and, swinging the long braid like a whip beside her, stomped back toward the camp. Yakima turned to Faith. She was standing just behind him, staring down at the dying demon. Yakima led her to the slowly darkening river and wrapped her in his arms. She slid her arms around his waist and pressed her cheek against his chest. He could feel the dampness of her tears through his torn tunic.
When we get back to Arizona, you're gonna have a much tougher time getting away from me than you did last time you tried.
Yeah, I reckon I will.
Yakima Henry No. 3, The Wild Breed, is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2011, Peter Brandvold, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2014, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Unauthorized download or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Terrence Aselford, Thomas Keegan, Colleen Delaney, Evan Casey, David Coyne, Gabriella Fernandez Coffey, James Lewis, Matthew Bassett, James Keegan, Elizabeth Jernigan, Nora Eshrati, Jonathan Church, Christopher Sheeran, Jonathan Watkins, Tim Pabone, Eric Messner, Patrick Busink, Drew Copas, Nick DePinto, James Konacek, Matthew McGee, Christopher Graybill, Katie Karkoff, Laura C. Harris, David Harris, Scott McCormick, Kimberly Gilbert, and Michael John Casey. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Michael John Casey. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Patrick Stratton. Book adapted for graphic audio by Eric Messner. With original music by Johann Detweiler, Thomas Hogan, and Joshua Lilly. Catch up on more of the early adventures of Frank Leslie's Yakima Henry. Coming from Graphic Audio, Yakima Henry number 4, The Killing Breed. Yakima's world is turned upside down as Faith is kidnapped, and he must chase the kidnappers north before they reach their destination and Faith's time runs out. Yakima teams up with a friend in the pursuit as they fight Apaches, ride a stolen train, and try to make it in the nick of time. Will they be too late? Don't miss Yakima Henry number 4, The Killing Breed, coming in June 2014. If you enjoyed Yakima Henry, be sure to look for Ralph Compton's Trail of the Gunfighter and Border Empire series, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, audio guides, and podcasts. Keep listening for previews of other thrilling titles in Graphic Audio.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's Smoke Jensen, The Mountain Man, 41, Butchery of the Mountain Man.
I really do believe in your project. I think it would not only be good for the university, I think it would also be a good resource for historians who are studying the Western expansion for many years to come. What's your first step?
My first step is to invite Kirby Jensen to come to the university for interviews and hope that he agrees.
I picked up the mail down at the mailbox. You got a letter from the University of Colorado.
I want you to come to the recording room with me. I intend to make a voice recording of our discussion.
My name is Kirby Jensen, although I've been called Smoke for most of my life.
Let's consider John Jackson. He is often referred to, and I'm sure you know this, as liver-eating Jackson.
The name is Jackson, John Jackson. And who would you three be?
Well, I'm called Preacher. This is Smoke, and boy is Matt. You're new to the mountains, aren't you?
Is it that obvious?
All right, I'll take him under my wing.
I'm not too proud to admit that I need help. It's fine by me if it's fine by you.
I think we'll get along just fine, Mr. Jackson. I spent the next year with John. It turns out that he required a lot of education.
Smoke Jensen is still alive and still one of Colorado's living treasures.
Available now in Graphic Audio.
Graphic Audio presents Ride the High Range by Charles G. West.
This ain't right, Captain. I don't want no part in it.
I'm the one says what's right and what ain't, boy. Why, you ain't much more than a snot-nosed kid. This is war. What the hell do you know about what's right?
I know this ain't right.
Jim turned at once and moved for his horse.
Grab him!
Yeah! Get in the way!
We'll shoot him!
Damn it! Damn boy's gonna warn him, Captain!
Get after him! He might warn him, but we'll be right behind him.
The main chiefs of the Sioux and Cheyenne have agreed to come into the fort on the 1st of June to discuss peaceful passage of white men on the Bozeman Trail.
Sounds good.
Sounds good, but my boss ain't so confident that the peace talks will be successful. He heard that Colonel Maynard here is expecting a large expedition force commanded by Colonel Henry Carrington to arrive sometime in early June. They're gonna build forts along the Bozeman.
Damn, Ryder, we really ought to wait till after those peace talks. Might make that trip on the Bozeman Trail a hell of a lot safer.
I guess you're right about that.
Yeah!
Over the rough terrain, their horses raced, oblivious of the possibility of a headlong tumble to the hard ground side by side, until the broad-chested buckskin gradually began to pull away from the spotted gray carrying Johnny. Just as they closed to within sight of the fort, however, it became clear that this was a race the Sioux were gonna win.
No good! They're gonna cut us off! Look for a place!
There! Hello, the shack! We're
What can I do for you, fellas?
We're from the sheriff's office. We've come to serve your eviction notice.
Our what? What the hell are you fellas talking about?
Your eviction notice. How many more's inside there?
Just my partner.
Well, we need to see you both out here so we can officially serve you both. And we ain't got all day.
Mister, I ain't never heard of no eviction notice. You must be looking for somebody else.
No, you're the ones we're looking for. Bodine, show them the eviction notice.
Right. Here it is. Into the cell.
How the hell do you do it? How the hell did you get away from the soldiers?
Got my wings. I came to get my rifle. It's all I want, then I'll be on my way.
Available now in Graphic Audio.
If you can't find that Graphic Audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can select from over 900 titles and 60 series in either CD or high-quality download formats. If you would like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase the whole sets on CD or USB flash drive from graphicaudio.net. At graphicaudio.net, you can now earn loyalty rewards points, redeemable toward future online purchases. You can also get full mobile downloads directly to your phone or tablet with our new Graphic Audio Access app, available on all Android and Apple devices, so you can listen on the go, anytime, anywhere. Call 1-800-670-5220 or visit www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our email newsletter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter.